Good morning, church family. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning or whenever you're watching. I hope that God is with you and He's speaking to you. I've got some of my friends here that we're going to jump into God's Word together. Before we jump into God's Word, I just want to say this. Thank you so much for sharing, for reposting the messages, for tagging us on Instagram and Facebook. Your help and your voice really does help get the message out. In fact, what we're noticing as we study kind of the metrics and all the views and everybody who's tuning in, that really the message is actually going further than all the people that we could actually fit in the building. So thanks so much. That's all part of you. And so thanks for doing that. I hope you do that this morning or this afternoon or this evening or whenever you're watching it. Make sure to share or, man, pick something out of the message you really like and post about it, because we're grateful for that. Well, you might hear a little bit of noise, a little bit of amens, and I hope you jump in with them, because I've got some friends here. They're going to help me preach. And this morning, I want to continue on the series that we've been discussing called Never Change. I think right now we're experiencing a whole lot of change, especially with all that's going on in our world. And really, change is something that we experience on a regular basis. Trends change, life sometimes changes, relationships change, styles change. But what do you do about the things that never change? I was thinking about the Grand Canyon, and I thought about that, the fact that the view that my dad saw is the same view that I saw, and it's the same view that my son will see. There's just some things in life that hopefully never change. And I think as a church, there's some things that should never change. As your new pastor, it's a huge, incredible, wonderful honor. And it's humbling to be able to lead you. And sometimes, anytime there's a change in leadership, there's like, okay, what's going to be different? But one of the things I really wanted to talk about before any of that stuff is that, hey, there's some things that really should never change, that should always remain the same no matter what. And so one of those things this morning I want to jump into is this. One of the things that should never change about our life, and one of the things that should never change about our church, is that we will always be a Spirit-filled church, right? Right? Am I right there? There should always be the Spirit of God. And I think that when people get around not only the gospel message of Jesus, but also His presence, the creative force that is the Holy Spirit, man, that's when lives are changed forever, right? Amen. Well, I'm going to go to my scripture in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and I'm going to read a little bit out of Paul's epistle to the Galatians. And it says here, pretty emotional language, Paul's writing, he says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Another term for confused you or tricked you or deceived you. "Before your very eyes, Jesus was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit from observing the law or believing what you heard?" It says here, "Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing?" Right here, "If it really was for nothing, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observed the law or because you believed what you heard?" The Galatian church began as a Spirit-filled church, but began to drift away from those things because their eyes left Jesus. The title of my message this morning, if you're taking notes, my friends here, or my friends across in your living room or wherever you're at, is a Spirit church. Come on, somebody. We're going to be a Spirit church. Let's pray and jump into God's message this morning. God, I just pray, no matter where a person is hearing this message, God, your gospel, your word can go further because you bless it. So, Father, I pray, whether it's a living room, a car, a bedroom, wherever they're at watching this message this morning, God, I pray that you speak to us individually and collectively as a church. You've got big plans for this church. You've got big plans for that person on the other side listening to that. You're not finished yet, but God, you're just getting started. So I pray you speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, hey, I encourage you, if I say something you like, give it an amen, comment for it. Let's be interactive as possible. I know my friends here are, so let's have some fun this morning. You know, One of the things that I've really enjoyed about kind of in quarantine is getting on social media and seeing everybody's home workouts. You've seen that? Like, they're over here doing push-ups on a chair. They're doing lunges down the hallway. They're even like doing bench presses with their dogs or their kids, you know, like whatever they got to do to get a little bit of health going on. I was going through Instagram and I saw this guy. He had his wife or girlfriend get in the front seat of his SUV, and she put it in neutral, and he was pushing his SUV to get a little workout. Well, the car only went like 20 or 30 feet, but by the end of it, I mean, he's soaking wet, he's exhausted, but this dude was pushing an SUV. How many of you guys know that some people take workouts at home kind of serious, and then some people take it extra serious? Well, I saw this dude and I said, Natalie, this guy's pushing a car. And she was like, wow, you should too. And I said, no, I just kept on scrolling. I was like, good, God bless him. You know, it reminded me, I don't know if you remember, watching on TV sometimes those strongman competitions, you know, where they would pull the semi-truck and they would push and it was like amazing. And these huge no-neck men who was like 300 pounds of solid muscle and gristle and protein shakes. I mean, these guys would pull a semi-truck and sometimes even an airplane. But you know, the thing is that no matter how strong they were always wore out. They were always exhausted. It always zapped them. You know, when I would watch this guy push the SUV or I watched those strongman competitions, it kind of reminded me about how some of us live our Christian faith. We think it's all about us and our own strength and our own ability. And it's like, I gotta pray. Let me push this semi-truck. Isn't this such a blessing? Or I need to read my Bible, or I need to behave a certain way. And can I tell you, that is not the gospel. That is not faith in Jesus. It's not about your ability. You know, no matter how strong the strong men were, they were always exhausted. And I think about this, no matter how strong you think your faith is, when you do it in your effort, in human effort, you always find yourself exhausted, wore out, wore down, thinking, man, I can't do this. It's kind of like, I think of it in the same way of as if God was the designer of a car and Jesus was the car. Well, the Holy Spirit is the fuel that propels and gives life to what was built. God here is this designer, and he designs this plan for humankind on how to rescue them. And that transportation to God or to the life that they were meant to live is Jesus. And when we get in and live in Jesus, that's where that transportation that takes us closer to God. But many of us, we forget the fuel. We forget the fire. We forget the power that propels us. And we think, oh, okay, here's Jesus. Man, look how wonderful Jesus is. It's all loaded. It's luxury, leather, everything, navigation. And then we start pushing it. We start thinking, I have to make it on my own. I have to force myself. You know, in fact, Galatians, Paul talks about this. He says, how foolish can you be after starting your new lives in the Spirit? Why are you trying to become perfect on your own human effort? Doesn't this sound like some of us? We try to do it on our own. We try to make ourselves do it. We try to become perfect. I think of it like if Jesus was that car and you push it a little bit and it gets a little momentum and you jump in the car and you go, whee, but it stops and you go, oh. So you get out of the car, you work, and you jump in the car, and that's fine if it's flat or even downhill. But what happens when you hit a hill? What happens when you hit situations as a church or as an individual that you can't push your way up, that you can't figure out? And I think there's some big hills or mountains in life, and sometimes it's a hill of guilt and shame. Sometimes we struggle with guilt and shame for something that happened years ago, or sometimes even something that happened to us. And you were like, we got Jesus, and what's going on? And we've left the fuel, we've left the fire, we've left a Holy Spirit-filled life. Remember, Paul's saying you began in the Spirit, but now you're going to human effort. What about the guilt or the hill of that sin that you just can't kick? You just keep trying to like, I'm going to get it this time. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to kick it. I'm not going to do it anymore. What about the hill of fear and timidity? Every time you step out to do something for God, you get, I don't know if I can do that. I feel inadequate. I feel not good enough. There's no way. Those are some big hills that you're not going to push your way, push your faith up. It really requires the Holy Spirit and His power breathing into you, empowering you, giving you the strength. That was all God's design. God knew that He had the plan and it was the architect and Jesus was the transportation and that we were supposed to live our lives full of the Spirit of God, empowered to live life for Him. I think this, that a Christ-centered church produces a Spirit-filled church. And church, let me tell you this, that's something both individually and as a church that should never change. We should always be a Christ-centered church that is a Spirit-filled church. I think a church without the Holy Spirit is like a comedian that's not funny. You guys ever seen that? Like sometimes comedians, they try to be funny and it just falls flat. Sometimes I've been trying to be funny with you guys and I don't hear any laughs on the other side of this and it's really awkward and pretty soon I'm going to get angry. No, I'm kidding. I'm not going to get angry. But I saw a video the other day where a stand-up comedian, he tried to deliver a punchline and nobody laughed. And then he got angry with him and was like, basically like, why can't y'all laugh? I wonder if there's some churches that aren't full of the Holy Spirit and then they try to deliver messages and then try to do church and it's just awkward. It's just awkward. It's just like, this is dead. This ain't working. And so what happens is sometimes the church gets angry. How come you ain't behaving right? How come you ain't entering in? How come you're not worshiping? And it's going, because there's no fire. There's no Spirit. There's no life. I think this is something that really, church, should never change. But I wonder how many believers, they go through life without fully engaging with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a little scary. The Holy Spirit's a little unknown. Maybe they've had a bad taste because of someone introduced them to the weird Holy Spirit. I don't want that Holy Ghost. I don't want that kind of awkward stuff. I don't want anything to do with that. You know, in Acts chapter 8, it actually shows a group of people that knew Jesus but didn't know the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, verse 14, it says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. You see, there's something about going, okay, I have faith in Jesus, but now I have the Holy Spirit in my life. I wonder how many of us were living the same way. We love Jesus, we love God, but the Holy Spirit's a little like, I don't know about that. Or, what does that mean for me? The New Testament was written in Greek, and a word used for spirit at certain times was a word in Greek called pneuma. It's spelled P-N-E-U-M-A, pneuma. And the challenge for many of the Bible interpreters and translators was this word in Greek didn't have a perfect like word in English. And so they tried to kind of assess, okay, what does pneuma mean? And pneuma literally means wind or breath or a breeze. So it's the breath of God in our church. It's the breath of God in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I want God's breath. I want His wind. I want the fire of God in my life breathing. And I don't know about you. Have you ever been mowing the lawn or been somewhere hot and you're sweating and then all of a sudden a breeze just hits you and you're like, have you ever seen the power of wind during a hurricane? You've seen the force that wind can take on. I can't see it, but I see the effect of it. I like to think of it like this, and this might be a little awkward, so please forgive me. But I like to think that God's so close to me at times through the Holy Spirit that I can literally feel His breath. One of the things I love to do is hold my kids at night when they're sleeping. And it's so amazing that when I'm that close to them, I can feel them breathing. And it's like in those moments, I feel close to my kids. Can I tell you that God wants to be so close to you in relationship, you can feel Him breathing. Some of y'all may be like, that's a little weird. I don't want nobody breathing on me. But God, what He's doing is He's saying there's some intimacy, there's relationship there. I want to be there with you. But you know, I think that sometimes when it comes to the Holy Spirit, people will feel a little awkward by it. And so there's two extremes that people go to. One is they only want to educate themselves about God. They only want to learn all the things they can, His Word, His character, theology, and that's good, but however, when taken to the extreme, without balance to that, what ends up happening is a church that only educates becomes a dead church, becomes a library, recording all the things that have been done, but never actually doing anything. But then you have the opposite side of that, which maybe you've experienced. Maybe you've had churches who only seek experience. They're like, I don't need education. I just want to feel. I just want to know. I just want to like feel the goosebumps. And while you do need to experience God, can I tell you that a church that only seeks experience becomes destructive?
Yes.
Destructive. And when they're chasing feelings and never being grounded in truth, that's just as bad. Let me go back to the car illustration. Think about if I had a car and all I did was study the car. I knew the horsepower. I knew the gear ratios. I knew how much gas it needed. I knew all the things about a car, but I had never, ever been in a car and felt that punch when it went. My knowledge would only be limited. It would only be theoretical. So therefore, there's churches out there. There's people out there that know everything but have never yet experienced what it's like to have the breath of God in your life. But think on the flip side, if I chose to know nothing about the car, I didn't know how to operate it, I didn't know what the dials meant, I didn't know how to drive, I didn't know what road signs meant, and all I did was just get in the car and just want to experience, I would be deadly to those around me. See, it's in the balance of both the education of God, knowing God, understanding His Word, and also experiencing God. I want to experience God in a real and fresh way. A healthy church, a healthy individual should both educate and help people experience God. To feel the wind, to feel the breath. So what are three characteristics of a Spirit-filled life or a Spirit-filled church? I got three of them for you. Wherever you're at taking notes, I want to jump right in. And the first one is a Spirit-filled church has high levels of expectation. Yes. They have high expectation. Yes. Like they're coming in every single week. This is not just another church service. Oh, it's another praise service. Oh, it's just another thing. No, they're going, man, what is God going to do today? What kind of thing is God? How is He going to move? What's going to happen? And I love in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, it talks about the man named Simeon who was anticipating, who was eagerly waiting when Jesus was arrived. It says this, at the time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, and he was a righteous, devout, he was righteous and devout, and he was eagerly awaiting for the Messiah. Come on, church, let's be a church that's eagerly awaiting when the Messiah comes, that's eagerly waiting, that comes in every Sunday, that wakes up every day, that gets on their knees and prays every day and go, God, what are you going to do today? How are you going to move? What's your breath going to do today? What's your Spirit, how's it going to move this morning? How's it going to move in my home? How's it going to move with my kids? When I lift my hands to worship you, is it going to move? Is it going to breathe on me? Church, I think this, that if a church has low expectation and thinks, well, there's going to be another Sunday. God's not moving in that church. But a church that says, hey, God can and probably will do anything. What's God going to do today? It can kind of feel mundane, can it, at times? It's another Sunday. It's another thing. Here we go. Well, a dead church has low or no expectancy. They think it's just routine. It's, oh, here we go again. You know, my kids, they love a water park. And there's Typhoon Texas right by us on the highway. And we'll drive by that water park all year long. But you know, when it starts warming up, they start talking about it. They start talking about the slides. They start talking about their friends. They start talking about the corn dogs. They start talking about the lazy river, which grosses me out because all those people and things are in there and I don't like doing that. But you know, they start talking about it. And you know, when they start talking about it and talking about the memories and the fun and the excitement that they had, you know what the next question is? Dad, when can we go? There's an eagerness. There's an expectation. There's an anticipation. And I wonder how many of us, we just forget all that God has done in our life. We just go through life as if God's never done anything for us, as if God's not been there for us, as if we've forgotten His faithfulness and His sovereignty and His grace and His mercy. I wonder if our weeks and days were filled with, man, I can't tell you, man, God is so good. Man, He's for me. He's faithful. He gives me peace. He gives me strength. Can I tell you, when Sunday rolls around, you're going to go, God, I can't wait to be with you. You know what I mean? There's an expectation. There's an anticipation. There's that going, God can and probably will do anything. There's something about when you get in a room with people who are expectant. It creates electricity. It creates a charge. It creates an atmosphere. And really what I want for our church and for your life is just that. I'm going to say it again. God can and probably will do anything. If we lived every Sunday, every day with an attitude of, I've not seen all that God can do yet. I've not heard every message I can hear yet. I've not experienced all that I can experience. Can I tell you that there are times that no matter how many church services, no matter how many messages you've maybe heard, God can still breathe fresh on you again today. Yeah. Let's be a church that's Spirit-filled. Let's be a church with high expectancy. The second thing is a church that is Spirit-filled has high evangelism. Has high evangelism. Man, people are coming to know Jesus. In Acts, after the Spirit fell on people in the upper room, it says this, that those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day was about 3,000 in all. This last passage in Acts chapter 2 is, in the very last one, is comes after Peter preaches a simple message. Go read it. It's not an elaborate message. He just declares Jesus King, and 3,000 people come forward and give their lives to Jesus. I think one of the biggest indicators of a church that's full of the Holy Spirit and that are Spirit-filled, a Spirit church, is that souls are going to be being saved. Yes. Souls are going to be entering into the kingdom of God. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't move for our entertainment. Holy Spirit doesn't move for just our feels. The Holy Spirit moves because ultimately the Holy Spirit wants Jesus to be glorified. And the only way Jesus can be glorified is who those people are. They go, yes, I'm giving my life to my King, my Lord, my Savior, who is Jesus. In John chapter 16, verse 13, it says this, that, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Now, what is truth? Jesus says that I am the truth and the life. So what this passage means is wherever the Spirit is, He will be guiding people into truth or into a relationship with God. You know, if high expectation means that God can and probably will do anything, high evangelism says God can and probably will save anyone. Right? Like, church is not just about those who are already put together. Church is not about who already have it all. Like, I've got my stuff. I got it all in ducks in a row. I'm perfect. I got everything ready. I got money in the bank. I'm healthy. I'm good looking. I got a job. I got all those things. No, can I tell you that church is for the rich and the poor, those people who think they're successful and those who are broken. And can I tell you where the Holy Spirit moves? God can and probably will save anyone. Anyone. You know, it's funny to me that there's been so many times I've been preaching a message, and let's say I'm preaching on something that, like, you wouldn't even think is a salvation message. I've preached on relationships, I've preached on money, I've preached on all different things and topics. But what's funny is that the Holy Spirit always has a way of working Himself into the human heart and pulling people to them. I can't tell you how many times after a church service where I preach something that's like not really an evangelistic message, and they come up to me like, Pastor Eric, listen, man, like that message was for me. And I'm like, really? I preached on like 10 steps to have a healthy marriage. And you're like, I know, I'm not married yet, but that was for me. Like, I gave my heart to Jesus this morning. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. You know I didn't preach on that, right? I don't actually say that. But what's incredible is God has a way in a Spirit-filled church that no matter what is going on, He's drawing people to Him. Yeah. Let's be a church that has high expectation, that will tell everybody and anybody, because we believe that God can and probably will save every person. Come on, church. High expectation, high evangelism. And the third mark is this: high empowerment. High empowerment. Okay. Ephesians says this, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. I love the word picture here of God. He's saying, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit. Church, I think this, that a Spirit-filled church can take lives that were dead, lives that were empty, lives that were broken, and He can breathe new life into them again. I think this, individuals who thought they could never be used by God, He can take those people and go, I'm breathing new life into you. I think this, that there are people that thought, I will never be used by God, not because my life is worthless, but because my life is too important. I got too many other important things to do. I got too many other career things. I got too many other reputation things. And God can take people consumed by things of this world and turn their hearts and say, I'm going to use you for my glory. Not just the broken, but those who are chasing riches, those who are chasing things that they think are way more important than God. God says this, I can use those people. And I'm not doing it on a budget. You see, I love God is not on the Dave Ramsey plan. He doesn't need Dave Ramsey. He's got more than enough. He's got riches in heaven through His Holy Spirit that He can empower you and I with. My kids and I went to an arcade a few weeks ago before this whole like shelter in place. And I'm kidding. We're not breaking the law. Don't worry. We went to an arcade, and you know they got the little arcade cards. They don't do quarters anymore. You got the cards, and you can preload how much you want spent. Like so, each kid got $10, and so then they go into the arcade, and each game cost a different amount. Well, the fun games they cost a lot, and the not so fun games they're cheap. It's funny to see kids when they go in, they go, okay, I've only got $10. So I want to do that game, but that one's $3. And this game is 25 cents, but it's not that fun. It's funny to see the personalities of your kids come out. Because some of them, one of my kids, they're like, I'm balling out. I only got three games. Life's good. The other kid is like, I'm budgeting. This isn't fun, but I'm going to use it. That's like some of y'all. You get paychecks, and you're like, where's the steak? I'm going out. This is me. Other you's like, ramen. This, we're only going to do this. I'm going to save this much. I even got one kid that literally was like, I'm going to save $5 for the next time I come. I'm like, no, the point is to use it. Well, we went back to the same arcade a few weeks later, and they were running a special that for a certain amount, you got unlimited money. You got unlimited play. Can I tell you, it changes the experience when I know there's not a limit. And I wonder how many of us, we have been dreaming on a budget. We have been having faith on a budget. We've only been believing God on a budget. We've only been experiencing peace on a budget. Like, God does not have enough for me, so I'll just take the game that's just not that fun, but I'll just play it over here in the corner. But what I really want to do is be experiencing that over there. But I don't know that God has enough to spend on me. I don't know that He has enough to use on me. So I'll just dream a little smaller. I'll just think a little smaller. You know, we can't reach that many people with this. You know, this church, we can't reach those kind of people. We can't be that effective in our community. So we're going to be a church on a budget. God says, no, no, no. Out of His glorious riches, out of His unlimited riches, through His Spirit, I will empower you, call you, equip you, take you out of darkness, take you out of brokenness, take you out of thinking you don't have enough, and set you up and say, here's an unlimited card. Use it. Use it. Use it. I wonder, church, that if we have high expectation, high evangelism, and high empowerment, what can God do through us? If God can and probably will do anything, if God can and probably will save anyone, I wonder if God can and probably will use anyone. Yeah. And church, I think that's you and me. Yeah. That's you and I. That's you and I, because guess what? We do not have faith on a budget. Do you believe that with me this morning? Hey, I want to pray over you right now. I want you to extend your arms out just like this. I know you might be in a room, you might be in a situation, you might be at work. Listen to this. Just push back from your cubicle if you still are working. Push back from wherever you're at and just lift your hands. God, I just pray over our church. God, I pray over every single individual in Jesus' name that God, we would experience your Holy Spirit. God, I pray right now. God, those people who maybe think God, that they've not experienced God yet, that they're trying to push their way through faith. They're trying to do it on their own strength, their own human effort. God, will you breathe on them even now? God, would you fill their life again? God, would you create a hunger and an expectation in them that, God, it's not just another day. It's not just another church service. It's not just another routine, but God, it's something fresh. God, would you reach people through our church that, God, you would have never thought that could be saved, because we know that you can reach those people. And God, will you use your people? God, would you empower your people? God, will you take people thinking that they don't have enough, and God, equip them with more than enough? God, help us never change, no matter what methodologies change, no matter what trends, no matter what styles, no matter what different things change in our world. The one thing that must never change about our church is that we are a spirit church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Maybe you're watching and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Like I said, listen, I can preach a message on anything, but where the Holy Spirit is, He could be drawing you even now. He could be speaking to your life. And maybe you hear this message and you have never made that confession of faith where you prayed and said, Jesus, will you please become my Lord and Savior? Maybe you did that many years ago, but have walked away from God. And right now, across a computer screen or a phone or a TV, you want to do that. Can I tell you that God can reach you there? God is speaking to you now. And I just want to invite you to pray a simple prayer with me. And just pray just simply this. Say, Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of doing it on my own. My own human effort. Be my Lord and be my Savior. Help me follow you forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, church family, if you prayed that prayer, there's a link down below the video description or that's going to be in the chat. And it's simply a connect card that lets us know that you prayed that prayer. We want to come alongside you and give you a call this week or an email just with some tools and some help to begin walking out the Christian faith. For everybody else, I love you so much, and man, I cannot wait to be with you. I know the expectation is going to be high come May, in Jesus' name. I don't know. I'm speaking it in faith, right? God's going to do it. If not May, June, July, whenever it is, I sure hope not. I just want to say thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your continued generosity and faithfulness to our church. Natalie and I, we love you so much, and we will see you again next week.